I'm great. How are you?
Good, nice to meet you.
Thank you. Firstly, thank you very much for your presence on my show.
Sure, I appreciate you taking an interest in what we're doing.
So, I've gone through your profile. I can see you're doing a lot of work. So I thought to tell about your work to my audience.
Okay.
So can you please introduce yourself to my audience?
Sure. I'm Mike Kanovitz. I am an attorney in Chicago, Illinois. I'm also the CEO of Jurat Blockchains, which is a legal tech company in the Web3 space. And in specific, we are working on solutions that allow people to enforce their legal rights on blockchains, which is something that is sorely missing. And one of the reasons why there's so much fraud and hacking that takes place in the Web3 world, because if somebody does fall for one of those scams, there's very little they can do to recover afterwards. And so that's one of the major problems we're trying to solve.
So, you're from?
Pardon?
You're from?
I'm
You're from
from?
which place?
Oh,
You're
from
from which place?
Chicago, Illinois, in the US.
So, what made you to start this? What made you to solve this kind of a problem?
So I've been practicing as a lawyer for over 20 years, representing people who have been victimized by some legal wrong. It could be that their civil rights were violated. It could be that they were injured in some way. And part of what I do is consumer protection work. So people who got taken advantage of by a big company or that sort of thing. And I started representing people in the crypto space who had been, scammed. Could be a phishing scam, could be a rug pull, ICO scams, that sort of thing. And what we learned is, we could help those people in court. A judge is going to understand what happened and is going to side with them. But even if they proved their case in court, there's nothing really that the court can do to get them their assets back. And that is because blockchains aren't able to follow the law themselves and also won't accept any outside authority requiring them to follow the law. So we realized that that was a big problem, not just for our clients, but for Web3 in general, because if you're going to have a bustling not just a community, but a whole ecosystem that's based upon a decentralized internet, there's got to be some way to enforce the law. Otherwise, that ecosystem can't go very far in terms of replacing how we do business in the real world. So we started working on that issue with some blockchain engineers with the idea that we wanted to find a way that blockchains could follow the law without undoing all of the things that make blockchains good, without hurting decentralization, without creating a central point of failure, without affecting people's anonymity. And so we spent about 2 years working on that, and we designed Jurat, which is this technology that allows it to happen and is also the name of our company, and then eventually incorporated that into a blockchain that is a Bitcoin fork that we call JTC Network.
So I understood what you said. So the problems that arise in blockchains that cannot be solved and that cannot be known and that cannot be retrieved if the money is lost.
Sure. So, everybody has the legal right to recover their property if they lose it. They have the legal right to, if they prove that they were defrauded, get back what they gave. And that's true whether you're doing a transaction in the real world or doing a transaction on a blockchain. That the law applies the same, but on a blockchain, you have no effective way of enforcing your legal rights. And so that is that's a limitation for all of blockchain, because there's a lot of activities that take place in the real world that you can't have on blockchain if you can't enforce your legal rights. So, like, you know, big corporations with sophisticated contracts, you know, they might have a contract that is 100 pages long, and it's still going to end up in litigation sometimes, because you can't even account for all the things that could go wrong. If they were to pay in cryptocurrency or use a smart contract, then they wouldn't be able to enforce their rights when something goes wrong. And so they're not going to use smart contracts for that arrangement. They're not going to pay in cryptocurrency for that arrangement. And so that's a big inhibitor to adoption of blockchain and Web3 and DAOs and cryptocurrency, all these technologies that have an awful lot of benefits. Their use cases are limited when you're unable to apply the law in daily use. So that's the problem that we set out to solve. And that's the technology that we call Jurat that solves it. So if you have more questions, please ask them. Otherwise, I can just explain how it all works too.
Yeah, sure. I have some more interesting questions. Before asking those questions, I just want to quickly say about my sponsor for my podcast.
Sure.
Yeah, so it's StartAdam. Sales and customer-facing teams often switch between several communication tools, causing time management and visibility issues that can slow down deal velocity. The solution, join StartAdam, where conversation converts. With StartAdam, your team can centralize all communications within your chat tool. No more switching, waiting, or fragmented chats, because chat messaging is where business gets done. Sales teams can stay in Slack or Microsoft Teams and connect with customers, leads, or candidates on their existing chat tool, building better relationships through constant communication in inbound or outbound messaging. Make it encrypted and compliant. Plus, bring all communication into your CRM or ticketing system. No data entry required. Join StartAdam to enhance customer relationships and close deals at hyperspeed with unified chat. Thanks again, Mike, for your presence on my show.
Hey, my pleasure.
So, being a lawyer and understanding how the rights of human beings and what made you to come into technology and understand the technological problems which humans are facing and that you want to solve.
So, well, like I said, I was doing consumer protection cases for people who had been defrauded in the cryptocurrency world. And, you know, the law was perfectly sufficient to protect them. You know, it's illegal to send a phishing scam link. It's, you know, it's illegal to tell the world that you're going to sell this coin with the intention of just running off with the liquidity after the people purchase the coin. That's fraud. So the law, you know, already did a good job of addressing the sorts of legal problems that people had in the crypto world, but there was a technological problem in terms of actually being able to enforce the law. And so the reason why there's so much lawlessness taking place in, you know, in the crypto world, so much fraud and hacking, and the reason why, you know, a ransomware exploiter wants to be paid in Bitcoin and not in dollars is because there's this missing technological piece. So what I knew is that if I was going to be able to help the sort of people who were asking me for help, and if in general, you know, the courts and my profession were going to be able to play a role in the future of Web3, there needed to be a technological fix. And so that's what drew me in.
So what do you say about blockchain technology?
what do I say about it?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's very powerful. The more I've learned about it, and it's been, several years now, the more I've gotten sucked into all the possibilities for how I can improve on people's daily lives. And the way I look at it is that, the thing that makes human beings so, such a powerful force on this planet is our ability to cooperate with each other. It's been that way since we lived in small, family groups, and then in tribes, and then in cities and nations. And the wider the scale at which we can cooperate, the more powerful that we are. And there's some types of cooperation that won't work unless you can trust each other. So, for example, if you and I can't really enter into a contract unless we know that if I, breach the promise that I gave you, or you breach the promise that you gave me, we have access to a court to make it right. Otherwise, unless I knew you very well, I couldn't trust your promise. And if I can only cooperate with people who I know very well, well, that's a lot less cooperation than if I can cooperate with nearly anybody as long as I know there's a court there. And blockchain takes that ability to cooperate and expands it very greatly. And so I'm excited about that. But you have to have the ability to enforce the law in the background of blockchain, just like you have the ability to enforce the law in the background of a, in real life contract between you and me, so that people can rely and cooperate. There's plenty of examples of that. And then there's a lot of, economic theory about transaction costs and reliance costs and things like that. Blockchain can bring that down if you also can take advantage of the fact that there is legal enforcement operating in the background. So I hope that answers the question.
So do customers, blockchain customers or crypto, the people who are using cryptocurrency, does they know the legalities and logistics behind it?
So I think people who use cryptocurrency generally know that if they got defrauded, they have a legal right to do something about it. They report it to the police, but they also know that there's almost no chance that any recovery is going to happen. The police can't handle even 0.1% of all the crime and fraud that takes place on the blockchain. People can't afford an attorney and investigators to go track down a fraudster who might live halfway around the world when all they know is the blockchain address, which is anonymous, right? So with the blockchain that we've created and the coin JTC, the people who are interested in that know that they have direct access to a court if they use that blockchain and that coin. And so if you go to our socials, on Twitter, for example, which is at Jirat Network, there's a whole community of people who are very, very enthusiastic about this idea that you can both have cryptocurrency and be protected by the law and by courts if something goes wrong. People will feel a lot more comfortable about taking their life savings out of a bank and trusting it to a blockchain if they know that their legal rights are the same, whether they have the money in the bank or whether they have the money on a blockchain. As of now, JTC is the only blockchain that we've built that has that capability to it. Additional customers could be other blockchains that want to add that functionality, which will happen over time. Or if you're a developer and you want to be able to have a court ruling applied to your smart contract, you would want to build in Jurat into your smart contract. Those sorts of those are the sorts of customers.
So what kind of customers that you already have now?
The clients. So right now we have users who own the coin. On the JTC blockchain, you can also essentially create tokens. They're ordinals because it's a Bitcoin format, but essentially NFTs. You can create tokens that are themselves tokenized legal rights. So if you wanted to create an NFT on Ethereum, you could, and people do, but there's a lot of controversy around what is it that you just created? You know, what did you actually sell when you sold that NFT? What are the legal rights of the person that bought them? What copyrights did you, let's say you're a digital artist, preserve when you sold that token? On JTC, all of that legal contract gets incorporated into the token, so there's no dispute about what the token represents. And if there's a breach, a court can take control of that token. And so there's a way to actually enforce those legal rights once you've released a token out into the world.
All they know is the blockchain address, which is anonymous, right?
So with the blockchain that we've created and the coin JTC, the people who are interested in that know that they have direct access to a court if they use that blockchain and that coin. And so if you like go to our socials, you know, on Twitter, for example, which is at Jurat Network, you know, there's a whole community of people who are very, very enthusiastic about this idea that you can both have cryptocurrency and be protected by the law and by courts if something goes wrong. You know, people will feel a lot more comfortable about taking their life savings out of a bank and trusting it to a blockchain if they know that their legal rights are the same, whether they have the money in the bank or whether they have the money on a blockchain. As of now, JTC is the only blockchain that we've built that has that capability to it. Additional customers could be other blockchains that want to add that functionality, which will happen over time. Or if you're a developer and you want to be able to have a court ruling applied to your smart contract, you would want to build in Jurat into your smart contract. Those sorts of those are the sorts of customers.
So what kind of customers that you already have now?
The clients. So right now we have users who own the coin. On the JTC blockchain, you can also essentially create tokens. They're ordinals because it's a Bitcoin format, but essentially NFTs. You can create tokens that are themselves tokenized legal rights. So if you wanted to create an NFT on Ethereum, you could, and people do, but there's a lot of controversy around what is it that you just created? You know, what did you actually sell when you sold that NFT? What are the legal rights of the person that bought them? What copyrights did you, let's say you're a digital artist, preserve when you sold that token? On JTC, all of that legal contract gets incorporated into the token, so there's no dispute about what the token represents. And if there's a breach, a court can take control of that token. And so there's a way to actually enforce those legal rights. Once all of that legal contract gets incorporated into the token, so there's no dispute about what the token represents. And if there's a breach, a court can take control of that token. And so there's a way to actually enforce those legal rights once you've released a token out into the world, and enforce their rights in court, and you can still enforce your rights in court.
So who can use this, and who can get benefit from this?
So it's a public blockchain, so anyone can use it. There's no difference in terms of how you create an account on the JTC blockchain versus how you create an account on the Bitcoin blockchain or any other public blockchain. You know, you do it. You don't need permission. You don't need to register in any way. You know, it's still anonymous. You still self-custody all your, so anybody can use this chain the same as any other chain. And then in order to take advantage of the legal enforcement aspect of it, you basically come to the UI on our website, you generate some codes that you can give to a judge. And if the judge agrees with you, then the judge can include the code in their written opinion. And then the nodes can understand what the judge is requiring the blockchain to do.
So how this system works?
So basically, we've taken the blockchain's native confirmation process. So for example, you know, with Bitcoin, before the nodes accept a transaction into a block, they confirm that that transaction is signed by the private key of the account that is, you know, trying to send the coins, right? And if it's not properly signed, the nodes will reject it. It won't find its way into a block. So in order to preserve the same level of decentralization as the network would already have, we have our nodes get an extra capability. So if a transaction is signed by the private key, they'll put it in a block just like any other node. But if it's not signed by the private key, and if the transaction identifies a specific court in a specific case, the nodes will go and look at that court's docket to see if the court has made a ruling. And if the court has made a ruling that says that that transaction should be entered on the blockchain, even though it's not signed with the private key, then each node will confirm that transaction in the same way they would have if it was signed by the private key. So with each node satisfying itself that a court has ordered that that transaction should take place, and if so, admitting it into a block.
So after starting this, what kind of change that you saw as a founder?
So first of all, a lot of excitement that this is something that's even possible, because most people assume that, you know, given the way blockchains are, there's no way to both preserve decentralization and have a blockchain comply with the law. So excitement. The judges that have had occasion to use it are very glad that they don't have to learn anything about blockchain. You know, it would be a heavy lift if you had to take, you know, all of these judges and say, okay, you know, download a wallet, you know, hide your seed phrase, you know, do all of these things that you don't normally do as a judge, just so that you can decide a case that has to do with blockchain. Well, we took all of that out of the equation by simply asking the judges to do what they already do. And so, like, as I was saying, you know, if you are suing someone, you would come to our UI and you'd generate a code that says, essentially, it's a hash, but it stands for move coins from the account that I'm saying stole them from me back to my account. So if someone stole 5 coins out of your wallet and they're sitting in another wallet, you'd use that wallet address, you'd use the number 5, you'd use your wallet address, and then the transaction would be to send the coins
from that wallet to your wallet. And if a judge agrees with you, they cut and paste that hash that you've given them, and they do what they normally do. They write their opinion, and then they put that hash in their written opinion, and then they docket the written opinion the way they normally would, and our nodes can go out and look at the docket and see if that hash is in there. And if it is, they can confirm the transaction. That's really no different than what courts already do. If someone had stolen money out of your bank account, you'd need to tell the judge, here's the name of my bank, here's my bank account, here's the amount that should be credited to my bank account. And if the judge agreed with you, the judge would write an opinion, and then they'd have to cut and paste that information and put it in the opinion so that the bank knows which account. Same thing, except we've now translated that to how blockchains, you know, denote their accounts. So basically, from the perspective of a judge, they don't have to do anything different than they normally do, which is really important because we know we can't tell judges how to go about, you know, handling their cases. We have to figure out how to fit together with how they're already handling their cases. And so that's what we've done.
So what are the common questions that you get from your clients?
So people want to understand, well, they're not our clients because we're not practicing law. We're not actually doing the lawsuits for them. And I'm talking about Jurat. I'm not talking about what I do as a lawyer. But like the technology is simply, you know, for lack of a better word, a bridge between courts and blockchains. And so we support the ability for blockchains to know what a judge has ruled. We're not actually going into court and representing people. They can hire a lawyer to do that, or they could file a lawsuit on their own to do that. So people have questions about how to actually have that bridge work. They want to understand, you know, what is the magic that allows us to do this while still being able to stay decentralized. They're concerned to make sure that the blockchain account is still anonymous, things like that. They want to know that they're keeping all of the things that are already good about their blockchain.
And who are your customers? Who are your clients?
I'm sorry?
Who are your clients?
Client is like a magic word for me because as a lawyer, my client is someone who I've taken on their case and represented. So I don't consider Jurat as having clients, it has customers. So the customers are for the JTC blockchain, the JTC coin. They're people who want to transact using a cryptocurrency where they know that they have legal recourse for that transaction. So that would tend to be people who have larger transactions where if it went bad, the transaction is large enough where it makes sense to file a lawsuit. You know, if it's a $5 transaction, you know, you can't afford to file a lawsuit for that. So larger cryptocurrency transactions. Then in terms of tokenization, it's digital artists, it's lawyers who want to create a blockchain-based legal product. So, you know, write a will, create an ordinal for that will, put that on a blockchain, write a contract that can be transferred on the blockchain and enforced by a court. And then the third big category is people who want to tokenize real world assets, because there's a problem. Example, token, can you still hear me? Because you're frozen.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, great. Yeah, great. So like, if you want to tokenize the deed to your house, great. You've now created this coin or this token that represents your house. It's sitting in your wallet. What happens if somebody steals that token? Do they now own your house? Well, if the token is going to be able to be relied upon on the blockchain, then the person who possesses that token needs to be able to control the underlying asset. But you don't want anybody kicking you out of your house simply because they stole your coin. So you have to be able to go to court and recover that token
if the person who holds it shouldn't. So if you want to tokenize real world assets, there needs to be a way for the rights in the token to legitimately reflect the rights in the real world piece of property. And the way to do that is to have the court have control over the token the same way it has control over the real world piece of property.
And what kind of customers can get benefit from this?
So basically what the sorts of customers that I just listed, you know, people who need legal recourse for a blockchain transaction, lawyers who want to create like services and products for their clients that could go on a blockchain and take advantage of those efficiencies. And then people who want to use the tokenization feature, which could be for example, like an NFT, digital art type NFT, where you want to preserve your copyrights, you want to be able to enforce your royalties, you know, all things that are lacking on blockchains that can't connect to a court. And then lastly, and this is just a burgeoning area of blockchain, if you want to tokenize a piece of property that is normally under court control, well, you need a token that's also under court control. And so, you know, the deed to a house is an example of that.
So you are already a lawyer and working and helping humans to know their rights. What made you to come into technology and help the technology users?
Well, like I said, you know, it was the specific area of doing consumer protection for cryptocurrency users where I realized that there needs to be a technological solution if courts are actually going to be able to help people. And so that is what drew me in to learn more about the technology. At first, I couldn't wrap my mind around how it could be that, you know, there could be these systems for people exchanging money out there, and it's totally outside of the realm of what courts can do. And I figured that, you know, courts didn't really know that either yet. And if they did understand that, they wouldn't like that, because it's not right to set up this whole area that's completely outside of the law. You know, the law exists to protect everybody, and it's important that everybody follow the law. Now, not everybody's gonna, but when they don't, there has to be ways to enforce the law, and blockchain lacked that.
So at last, what do you say about your service to my audience for watching this and listening to this from anywhere?
So I would tell them to educate themselves about what it is that we are capable of doing once we connect blockchains to courts, so that there is this ability in the background to enforce the law. And you come to our website, it's jurat.io. You know, go look at our socials, like on Twitter, at Jurat Network. Join our Discord, which you can get those links all on our website. And you'll see that many of the limitations that blockchain faces right now and cryptocurrency face right now are solved by the ability for people to exercise their legal rights in the way that we have now engineered it so that they can. And once you understand that, you'll get very excited about what we're doing.
I'll put your web link on the screen and also in the description, also in my website as well. People who find the sure. website of yours anywhere in the internet can able to see the service that you are doing and can able to see how it can be helpful for them.
Do you want me to put it in the chat, or do you want me to just share my screen with the website?
Yeah, after this conversation, if you can send me the link, I can share it.
Yeah, absolutely, I will.
Yeah, and as a lawyer, as a founder of a technology company solving blockchain related problems, what is your observation about my work?
about developing software and such.
Have you seen videos of mine on YouTube?
Your observation about my work. I saw the interview that you sent me with the man from Google service. You know, I think that what you're doing is important. You're introducing people to, you know, very specific areas of the world of technology that they might not know about. And so that's important for your audience because they should stay up to date because those are the sorts of things that are going to affect them in the future very soon. And it's important for those of us out here who are, you know, trying to change the world for people to know what they're working on.
I did personally master's in software engineering, also bachelor's in computer science and engineering. Yeah. And I'm working as a DevOps engineer. That's my full-time job. Apart from that, I'm interviewing experts like you who are solving different problems in different parts of the world. So me communicating with experts like you who are working and solving different problems and helping humanity in different ways, what I'm going to learn and how I'm going to use this knowledge in my career.
That's great. What I've learned since software, I only came into software in order to build this thing, is that deadlines are a lot harder to meet than you'd think. You know, when a court gives you a deadline, that's the deadline. But I've noticed that on development teams, it keeps getting pushed out.
Can I put this video on my YouTube channel with your permission?
Of course.
Yeah, and also can I put this audio and video clip on my podcast, website, internet, social media, everywhere with your permission?
Yeah, I expected you'd post it as you usually do.
Yeah, sure. Thank you very much again, Mike, for your time and sharing sharing about your work to my audience and answering some of my questions.
My pleasure. I appreciate you taking an interest in what we're working on.
Thanks, sir. Again.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Start Adam. Sales and customer-facing teams often switch between several communication tools, causing time management and visibility issues that can slow down deal velocity. The solution? Join Start Adam, where conversation converts. With Start Adam, your team can centralize all communications within your chat tool. No more switching, waiting, or fragmented chats, because chat messaging is where business gets done. Sales teams can stay in Slack or Microsoft Teams and connect with customers, leads, or candidates on their existing chat tool, building better relationships through constant communication in inbound or outbound messaging. Make it encrypted and compliant. Plus, bring all communication into your CRM or ticketing system. No data entry required. Join Start Adam to enhance customer relationships and close deals at hyperspeed with unified chat.